Beloved, God is good. And all the time, God is good. If you didn't know it before, you heard it in the song, right? I was sitting there like, yes, yes, speak that word. No, but ladies, we are so excited to have you here today and so excited for what God has done and what he has in store. Just because Heart Conference is finished, it's not finished. Amen? His move is just beginning. We are believing for a fresh outpouring of his spirit from now right up until Easter, and then another fresh outpouring of his spirit for Easter is right around the corner. And what an opportunity for us to stand in that moment and look back at Heart Conference 2026, Strong Conference 2025, Christmas, like you name it. Think about all the good that God has done this year. May that ever be on our mind. Right? How often? Okay, I better get back to my notes. All right. No, I'm going to go there. Okay. How often do we allow one piece of negativity to just strip away all of the joy that God has been trying to plant in our lives? Church, we need to really just stand on his word and fasten in our hearts an encouragement that although we will walk through negative times, right? Jesus told his disciples that if you follow me, you need to prepare yourself for persecution. You need to prepare yourself for hard times. We come to the Lord because it is a blessing to know him. We are blessed because we know him, full stop. Right? It has nothing to do with the material things that we're able to obtain. It has nothing to do with personal physical health. It has nothing to do with all of that. Our soul is secure in Jesus Christ. Full stop. There is nothing that we could ask of him beyond that. Everything else is just the gravy on top, right? It's just that extra little bit of sauce that God pours out where he says, I love you. I am with you. And how often do we allow one piece of negativity to just undo all of the good? And so I just want to challenge you this morning as we dive back into the book of Ezekiel to go back over this past year. Maybe you need to journal about it tonight. Maybe those of you that were attending Heart, you need to just pause right now and begin to just note all of the things that God spoke to you over those 2 days. To go back over the past year and look at all of the good that God has done. Oh, am I even going to preach this sermon today? All right. We're going to dive into Ezekiel chapter 15. Ezekiel chapter 15. We're going to dive into Ezekiel chapter 15. It is going to be a good time. Specifically, I believe we're starting in verse 5 or verse 4 this morning. Ezekiel 15. And we're going to dive into a proclamation that the Lord has over the people of Israel as they still find themselves in Babylonian captivity. This morning, as we have at Heart, my prayer is that each of you would hear the voice of the Lord to you today. God is in the room. He is present here. You don't have to wonder how or why. The reality is that the moment that two or three of you enter through those doors, the Bible declares that God is in our presence. As we gather as a community, he has promised to be here. So he is in the room, and his desire is to speak to you today. Church, can you hear the voice of the Lord? Can you hear the voice of the Lord? Many times in Scripture, God will describe us as his sheep. He will describe himself as the good shepherd. He declares that his sheep know his voice. Have you ever been in a crowd where somebody that you know intimately, they're not around you, but they call your voice? Have you ever had the opportunity, I've done this before, whether it be at a conference or a retreat or whatever, where I'm standing in the bleachers and I can see one of my sons and they can't see me and I just yell their voice. Have you ever had that happen before? You ever seen that? Right? And in the midst of all of the crowd, as you yell that voice, a couple of the people close to you turn to look at you like, why are you yelling? Right? They're like, you see it on their voice of the displeasure. But the person who you're calling, that person who you know intimately, no matter how far it is, no matter where they are, as your voice reaches them, you will see them pause and stop and begin to look to the left and begin to look to the right. Right? And if you're calling behind them, they'll spin and turn. And then as soon as they meet your eyes, especially if it's one of my boys, they give you the same look that all the people in front of you get, right? Dad, like, why? Why are you doing that? Church, this morning I want to encourage you that God is speaking to you in this room. And although you may not have heard his voice recently, maybe you're here this morning and it's actually something that you've been praying into, that God would speak in your situation. When God does show up, you will know it. Why? Because it's like that voice of an old friend. It's like that voice of an intimate loved one, to where when he speaks, you just know. Women who are at heart, how many times did you experience that this weekend? Men who are at strong. Beloved, this morning, who are intimately engaged in reading the word of God, how many times have you experienced that? Where something that the speaker says, just it lingers in your heart, or a word from the Bible that you read, it pops out of the book and you wonder, why is this hitting me so hard? And as you dive deeper and deeper and deeper, what you realize is it's because it's a fresh word, but it's not a fresh word. It's a reminder this morning of what God has been speaking. In Ezekiel 15, Ezekiel is going to deliver a message to the Israelite people in the form of a parable. And you're going to see lots of parables as you go through reading of Scripture, especially when you get to the New Testament. Jesus was a master of explaining his thoughts, explaining really difficult theological concepts in the form of parables. And there's five things that we want you to keep in mind as you read through parables, whether it's today or as you continue to go through your own journey in Scripture. Five things that you want to remember as you read through parables. Number one, read it in its entirety. Do not stop until the parable ends. Note how it starts and then where it stops. Be truthful as you're reading it as to where it offends you. Come on, somebody. Be grateful where it leaves you encouraged. And notice any spots where it surprises you. Each time that you'll see a parable listed in Scripture, there is a deep theological concept that God is trying to explain to those who are not God himself. Anyone in the room, you're like, oh, that might be me. It is you. Right? God is trying to break down very difficult spiritual concepts so that we, his beloved, can understand what he's trying to explain. So that we, his beloved, can fall deeper and deeper and deeper in love with him, even if the parable is difficult. Even if we find ourselves in a place where we say, ooh, I don't really love that. We have to wrestle through to understand, but why is God communicating this? Because we know that God is love. In the book of Ezekiel, he delivers this parable in verse 15. And for some of us, especially for the Israelites, it carries the voice of the Lord. It's one of those moments where, as Ezekiel is speaking, their heads will turn to the left and to the right, and maybe spin around, because they will recognize God is here. Let's read it this morning. Ezekiel shares, and the word of the Lord came to me. Son of man, how does the wood of the vine surpass any wood? The vine branch that is among the trees of the forest. Is wood taken from it to make anything? Do people take a peg from it to hang any vessel on? Behold, it is given to the fire for fuel. When the fire has consumed both ends of it, the middle of it is charred. Is it useful for anything? Behold, when it was whole, it was used for nothing. How much less, when the fire has consumed it and it is charred, can it ever be used for anything? Therefore, thus says the Lord God, like the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, for I have given up the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I have set my face against them. Though they escape from the fire shall yet consume them, and you will know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them. And I will make the land desolate because they have acted faithfully, declares the Lord. Here Ezekiel, continuing his message of challenge to the Israelite people, says to them, listen, I have to deliver the message this way from the Lord, because surprise, surprise, we continue as a people to not get it. If you're just joining us, we're on a journey called Becoming Heartstrong, And as we read through the book of Ezekiel, we have just recently gone through the book of Jeremiah. And then we have also just recently gone through the Old Testament, through Chronicles and Judges and 1 and 2 Samuel. And we're on a 3-year journey through Scripture. And so we come to this place in Ezekiel, much like the Israelites themselves have, looking back, not just looking at these verses, right? Because we don't just read Scripture on its own. Okay, I'm going to say that again. We look at these scriptures much as the Israelites do because we are not a people who pick out scriptures just willy-nilly on their own to make the Bible say what we want it to say. Amen. There we go. Okay. We read it in context. What's the context here? The Israelites find themselves in Babylonian captivity. It is not a surprise to them that they have found themselves here, right? They have been told and foretold and challenged and reminded and told again and foretold again and challenged and reminded. This is what will happen if you continue to turn your hearts inward. Go back to the Psalms. Go back to the book of Proverbs, right? We talked about what it looked like to live with wisdom compared to what it looked like to live foolishly. And it was always, where are your eyes focused? Who has your heart? Where is your attention placed? God continually to the Israelites through all of the Old Testament has carried the cross of this cry, come to me and I will give you rest. Go your own way, and I will let you have what you desire. Amen. Come on. This is what God is speaking here. See, if we just dive into this prophecy, if we just dive into this parable, it can seem extremely harsh. But if you read it in the context of for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, for generations, God has been calling these people and saying, this is not who you have been created to be. And they have constantly responded, we know, but... Yeah, I know, God, that you've created us to be a nation that will shine your light for all the other nations, but... Yes, we know, God, that you've called us to die unto ourselves so that your name could be made great, but... God, I know that you've called us not to worship any other idols, to not allow any other passion, to not allow any other desire, to not allow any other want to supersede where you are. And they continually put this but in the place of, we hear what it is that you're saying, and yet, what about me? What about my wants? What about what I need? And so here we step into the midst of this parable where God's voice is clearly speaking to his people. They are hearing his words, and it can seem very harsh where God says, listen, I will give them to the fire, but really what's going on here is God is saying, this is why we're here. Because you're living a life that you were never intended to live. The entire core of the use of the vine, the entire core of the use of the Israelite people, they have chosen to go their own way. And so God says, okay, then here is what is produced from that. God has asked them over and over and over again, return to me. I love you with everything that I have. Will you just love me in return? The response is continually be, God, we want your blessing, but we want to follow ourselves. And so God speaks these words in verse 15, in chapter 15, verses 6 to 8. He says, therefore the Lord says, because you are like this, like the wood of the vine among the trees of the forest, which I have given to the fire for fuel, so I have given up the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and I will set my face against them. And though they escape from the fire, the fire shall yet consume them, and you will know that I am the Lord when I set my face against them, and I will make the land desolate because they have acted faithfully, declares the Lord. Israel's call in the Old Testament was to be a testament. What's happening here is God is reminding them why it is that they find themselves in the place where they are, because they have completely lost the scope and the challenge and the encouragement of who they were called to be. God says, I didn't just create you to enjoy all the tastes and the riches of this world. I didn't call you as a nation so that you could gloat and launder it upon everybody else, just how great Israel and Judah are. I didn't give you victory over your enemies so that you could look back and say, was that God or was it really us? God says, I have constantly, my children, I have called you, come back to me, and come back to me, so that my name can be great, so that others can receive redemption, so that others can know what it is that you have tasted, and instead you have lifted up your own name. Instead, you have chosen your own path. But my desire is still that the world would know me. Oh, come on. See, here's what it is that Israel doesn't understand. Here's what it is that Israel is getting mixed up, that Ezekiel is trying to explain through this parable, is that God hasn't changed his mind about them, right? We've talked about that. Beloved, God hasn't changed his mind about anybody in this room. If you know him by name, if you have the revelation of what the cross achieved, he is still speaking redemption and salvation over your life right now. He wants you to be redeemed. He hasn't changed his mind about that. But he also hasn't changed his mind about the world. Hallelujah. His call was to the nation of Israel, that they would know him and become an incredible people who would shine their light on his behalf. Their desire has become, let us shine our light for us. He says, no. See, because there's actually no salvation available through Israel. Right? There's no salvation available through you and I. Come on. Anyone here have the power to forgive sins? To set people free? So this is the larger scope of what God is doing. He says, yes, I have called you my own. Beloved, I love you with all of my heart, but don't mistake how far and how wide my love extends. I have simply called you first. Your purpose as the nation of Israel, was to shine a light so that all the other nations could also know me. Church, this morning, our purpose for going to heart is to be reminded of how deep and how wide and how glorious God's love for us is, as a reminder of he doesn't want to stop there. Come on. Stop listening to the lie of the enemy. Stop belittling and making light of just how brilliant God's light is. His light was created to shine. And I don't know why he did it this way. But in his infinite wisdom that only God has, he declared this: the world will know me through my people. That's literally from the Old Testament to Jesus, all the way through the New Testament to today in 2026. His methodology has not changed. Our God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. His desire is that you would participate in the salvation that he has for the city of Ottawa and beyond. His desire is that you would be present and stand in awe as salvation falls on your homes and on your workplaces, and on your schools, and on your neighborhoods. Because that is what he is about. I'll call you first, so that you can fall head over heels in love with me. And as you die to yourself, my light will shine through you. Everything that you put your hand to, it will have me in it. As long as God is first. And then you get to stand in awe as the light of God shining through you begins to touch all of the areas of darkness that God has called you. He has created you. He has placed you into so that your life can be an influence. Not so that anyone would know you. Hello? Israel, are you listening? Hello? People of God, are you listening? It's not about us. Don't allow this world, although we're called to be in it, we're not called to be of it. Our desires cannot look the same as those that don't know the Father. Come on. Come on, we're called to be in the world and yet not of it. To not allow the desires of the world and the same frustrations and the same, all these things to eat us up. No, church, we have hope. We believe that God is in control. Even if it doesn't make sense. Even if I can't fully articulate what he's doing. Most of the times, I can't articulate what he's doing. And yet when I see God show up, there's that voice. My child, I'm here. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 3 to 5 says this, "But God, who is rich in mercy, because of his great love that he has for us, made us alive with Christ, even though we were dead in trespasses. We are saved by grace." Even in the midst of the parable that Ezekiel is bringing forward, to his own people, from the Father who loves them deeply. This is where we find ourselves and why. There is always that constant reminder in the midst of it that his plan is a plan of redemption and life. Beloved, if you're here today and you're tired, if you're here today and you're fighting against despair, maybe you're here today and it's been a while since you've heard the voice of the Lord. Please hear it today, this morning. You have been created with a purpose. High school students, it has nothing to do with what you're going to do when you're graduated. No matter how many times we ask you that, our bad. It's not about, well, what are you going to do when you're 20? Your profession, may God call you to it, right? For those of you that are already in a profession, may God move in it. But it's not who you are. That's what you do. Who you are is so much deeper. Who you are is found in the gospel. Each and every one of you today, God has called you from death to life. God has called you to be useful in what it is that you've been created to do. Well, Pastor Mitch, what is that? Well, listen, because God hasn't changed, his intention for us hasn't changed. Those of you who are at Heart Conference this weekend, may you be refreshed and infused with the call of God. God's desire is that you would fall in love with him and be joined with the Trinity in relationship. It's one of the most beautiful things about serving a triune God who is three yet one. It's this understanding that from the beginning of time, God himself has always existed in relationship. It's a reminder to us that as we fall in love with God, that we see the relationship that he himself exists in, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. As we look to this incredible mystery, it reminds us that this is why we're here. Because God first existed in relationship, he created us out of that place. You're not here for what it is that you can accomplish. You're not here for how big your brain is and how right you can be in an argument. You are here because God loves you. And he has created for you to fall in love with him, to get to know him more and more and more and more every day. I saw on some of the highlights from Heart Conference that Pastor Shirley, who was ministering in Cornwall, 83 years of age, and just on fire, right? Ladies, wasn't she killing it? Didn't she do such a great job? And at one point, she led this incredible song, "This Little Light of Mine," right? I'm gonna let it shine. But there's a caveat there, and something that we have to be so, so careful of. Church, God has not called you to let your light shine so that others can see you and your great accomplishments, and how brilliant you are in apologetics, and how right it is that you get every discussion at home. Listen, this isn't the light that God has called you to shine. The light that God has called you to shine is his light alive in you. That every day you would fall more and more and more in love with him, and that that would be the light that would shine. Church, you have been called and created for such a time as this. The beauty of the gospel is that at the root, the call for all of us has not changed. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your might. And out of that place, all of the mercies and the riches of the world will touch all of the areas that you have been called to influence. What light are you called to shine? How deep does your love for the Father go? That's the light that will transform the world. That's the light that we see on the cross, isn't it? Right? It's not even Easter yet, but let's just do it. Right? Why is the cross so incredible? Because Jesus' love for the Father ran so deep that he gave up his life for each and every one of us, so that no, not one would perish, but that all would have eternal life. For it is by the grace of Christ that we find salvation. Let that sink so deep into your heart today. If you're here this morning and you say, Pastor Mitch, I haven't heard the voice of God in a while, may that turn your head today. It's not about your circumstance, and that's not to belittle your circumstance. It's not about your storm. That's not to belittle your storm. It's simply to remind you that no matter where you find yourself today, your God has not changed. And his love for you is so deep, so vibrant. And this morning, maybe he's calling you back into that place. Will you fall in love with me again? Let's pray. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the reminder, Lord Jesus, of our first call. Lord, I pray that each person in this room, Lord God, whether we journal or we take a moment before we leave today and pray, whatever it is that we do this morning, God, to make sure that Sunday mornings are not just habitual, but that Sunday mornings invite you to absolutely transform our lives. God, whatever practice that we have put in place in our relationship with you, God, I pray that each person in the sound of my voice would sit in this moment and seriously remember why they're here. God, we are here to know you more. God, we are here to know you more. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would call each and every person in this room deeper into relationship with you. God, I pray right now that you would speak and remind some today of the joy of their salvation, that moment when you first called them. God, I pray this morning that there would be, just from your spirit, Lord God, a reminder that this is the day that you have made. And because you have made this day this morning, God, we can rejoice. No matter what it is that's coming tomorrow or the day after, this is the day that you have made. And so this morning, Lord God, we can rejoice. And so, God, I pray today that for each and every person in this room, God, that you would soften hearts. God, I pray that you would give us ears to hear. Lord, I pray that we would be reminded that your light in us is what will change this world. So God, be with us today. Speak to us today. Call us deeper into love with you so that our light can shine for a world that doesn't know you yet. Lord, I thank you for your word. It's a foundation for our feet. And may we leave this place, Lord Jesus, putting into practice, sitting in that wonder, sitting in that awe of just how much more love does my Father have for me today. We ask that in your holy name. Amen.